tonight, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and then the book directly to its left, just before it, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll continue our study in this series on some things that you must do. I'll not have you turn there tonight, but I will remind you of our theme verse, our springboard verse. Micah chapter 6 verse 8 is our theme verse for this series, where the Lord said, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So we've been looking at all of these things in the New Testament that have to do with us. Things the Lord requires of us. Save yourself. Keep yourself. Encourage yourself. Examine yourself. Exercise yourself. Submit yourself. I think we've had about seven of them now. This is number eight tonight. And we've got several more to go. The New Testament is just chock full of these things. And can I say, I'm greatly disappointed with my ministry brethren for not preaching on these things more often. We come and we hear preaching and we put all the onus on the Lord and never tell God's people what God has required of them. Now, we realize and recognize tonight, and don't forget this at the onset of the message, we realize and recognize that none of these things that God asks us to do are we able to do without His help. We need His help to save ourselves from this untoward generation that we looked at, to keep ourselves, to submit ourselves, to exercise ourselves, to encourage ourselves. We need the Lord's help for all of these things. We understand that. You're going to need God's help. But God expects some effort on our part. God expects some accountability. God expects us to put a little sweat equity into our walk with the Lord, doesn't He? And so tonight, we're going to look at a subject that's a real unpopular one in churches today. And these are some verses that you are very rarely, if ever, hear preached on. There may be some of you tonight have never heard a message on these verses. It's funny to me that so many of our brethren in churches and across the country, it's like they just hop, skip, and jump over the things that they would rather not deal with. But these things are pertaining to us. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 3, and then we'll go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and you'll see where we're going tonight. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, if you found your place, say amen. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Now watch what he tells you to do to these type of people. These type of people that will not consent. They'll not hearken. They'll not submit to the doctrine of the Bible. These proud people. These people that all they want to do is dote about questions of strife. These people that are perverse disputers of corrupt minds. From such, withdraw thyself. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul tells this church in verse number 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. So tonight I'd like to preach on that thought and that phrase, withdraw yourselves. Withdraw yourselves. This is a very unpopular subject in churches today. And you say, why, preacher? Because in our haste to get bigger congregations, in our haste to get bigger buildings, in our lust to have bigger offerings, in our pride to be able to show off the biggest congregation in town and tell everybody, look, we've got this and we've got that. In our error of running after the way of Balaam that the Bible talks about, we have simply become accepting and tolerant of any and all kinds of behavior just so long as we can have hotties in the pews. Just so long as we can have a full house and we can have a lot of people and we can all just be honky-dory and everything seem to be wonderful. No rules, no biblical stand, no biblical standard. Anything goes. Just do whatever you want to do and still be a member of the church, still serve at the church, still do whatever. In our haste to try and be tolerant and accepting, we have actually excluded biblical foundational doctrines like withdraw yourselves. Let me just say this at the onset of the message, and whether this, if this rubs the cat the wrong way, turn your cat around tonight. But this is still the fact that there are people that even name the name of Christ and may be truly born again that you're not supposed to have fellowship with. There are people in churches that if you hang out with them long enough, they're going to drag you down tonight. We are living in the day, Brother Skip, we have come full circle back to the book of Judges, where it says about four times in the book of Judges, Brother James, it says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, it just don't matter. Let's just all hold hands. It doesn't matter what doctrine you believe. It doesn't matter what standard you espouse. It doesn't matter what kind of life you're trying to live. It doesn't matter if you abide by the preaching of the Word of God. It just doesn't matter. Let's just all hold hands. And just because you call yourself a Christian, we can all just yoke up together under one big, large ecumenical banner and all claim to love God, know the Lord, and be on our way to heaven. Can I say that is a foreign concept to the Bible tonight? Y'all listen to me. I'm not saying this man didn't do something for the gospel. I'm not saying he didn't. But y'all realize tonight, the bottom line is not always the end all of all. The end doesn't always justify the means. I know as soon as I called his fellow's name, everybody's going to be like, yeah, but a lot of people got saved. I'm not saying they didn't. But you realize that's not the end all of all. You can't just say, well, somebody got saved, so that justifies everything we do. It does not tonight. You can't just kick Bible doctrine out the window just because you're saying, well, I'm going to see somebody get saved. That's not Bible this evening. Now, I'm telling you, one of the fellows that did the most damage for what I'm preaching tonight was none other than Billy Graham. I'm not saying people didn't get saved under Billy Graham's ministry, but you listen to me. When you're actively holding hands with a Roman Catholic that believes that you got to take a wine and wafer to get to heaven, and you believe that Mary is a co-mediatrix, and then you're reaching across the aisle and holding hands with somebody who believes in apostolic signs and wonders, and you believe you can lose your salvation and all this stuff, and you reach over here and grabbing hands with everybody just because they call themselves Christian, and it's all okay. Brother, that mindset now 30 and 40 years later has messed our churches up. I'm not saying people didn't get saved at the time. Thank God for it. But the end doesn't justify the means. The Lord still has the desire to have a pure church. Pure in doctrine. Pure in living. Pure in how they walk and how they do in their life tonight. Amen. The Bible says withdraw yourself. The word withdraw simply means this. It means to abstain from associating with. To abstain from associating with. I don't know if you've looked around at a lot of our churches today. They have become zoos. It's a zoo. I was just watching the other day, Brother Travis, this church, there's absolutely, brother, what once started off as an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church, in their haste to get more people in a building and hurry up and have multiple services on Sunday morning and pack it out. Y'all listen to me. I think sometimes y'all think I'm just running off at the mouth. Brother, I'm not. I know what we can do to pack this place out in just a few months, real quick like. I know what kind of things I can stop preaching on, things I can stop saying, things I can change on the platform, things we can change in the look of the building, and we can change some of this stuff. And in a month, brother, our attendance start going. It wouldn't take long. We'd be rocking it out, have to build a new building. I know how to do it. It's not that I don't, but I'm not willing to sacrifice what God told us to do to get a crowd tonight. Amen. Brother Kevin, I'm watching this stuff. Literally, a church that started out independent Baptist, now they're having a baptismal service the other day, and they're letting women baptize people. Y'all, I'm sorry, but you start letting women do the baptism of people, you're going to wind up with women preachers in just a little while. It's not, brother, listen to me. It wasn't given to a woman to fulfill the ecclesiastical duties of the church and administer the ordinances of the church. That's the job of a man in the church. Amen. That's exactly right. I'm telling you, there's got to be a line where we start saying, I'm withdrawing myself so I don't wind up in a mess. So what's the point of this withdrawing yourselves? Well, it's twofold. It's to keep you right. And then it's to get the people right who you withdraw from. So tonight I'm going to show you four things. I'm going to talk about why do we need this exhortation, who this encompasses, what this entails, and when does it end. Why the exhortation, who it encompasses, what it entails, and when does it end. But bookended at the beginning of this message is this. The first reason why God tells us to withdraw ourselves is to keep you right. And then at the end, we're going to find out, Brother Hunter, it is to get the people you withdraw from right. The whole purpose of this ain't just to get you right. It's to help others get right with God. So let me just hurriedly through this, and we'll be done. Number one, why the exhortation? Why this exhortation? Why does Paul give this exhortation? Look at the exhortation. We already looked at it in 1 Timothy. We're going to look at it in several other places. It's not just in two passages, y'all. It's in a bunch of passages. Look what he said in verse 6. Watch what he said here in 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we watch this language. Watch how strong this language is. We command you. This is not a suggestion. This is not a, well, try this and see if this works. Well, maybe incorporate this, and if you don't like it, don't worry about it. No. This was a biblical command from the apostle to the Gentiles that is writing inspired scripture that has now been put down in the book of God. And he says, I am commanding you to withdraw from certain individuals. We'll take you there in a minute, but I'll not do so right now. But if you go to Romans chapter 16, verse 17, he uses this same kind of strong language, Brother Tony, this strong language over there, and he uses the word beseech. He said, now I beseech you to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. So in this text, he uses the word command. In that text, he uses the word beseech, which means to beg or implore. Why the strong language? Listen to me now. If you don't get any other point of the message, you need point number one. Why the strong exhortation? Why the strong language of Paul about withdrawing yourself? Because he wants to make sure the church, which is the called out assembly, the congregation, he wants to make sure the church stays right. Y'all listen to me. I'm all for voting. I'm presently trying. I preached down in North Carolina, down in Dallas this week. Got to meet Mark Robinson's campaign manager, and he got me hooked up with his scheduler. I'm actively trying right now to get Mark here, and hopefully we'll have a big God and Country Sunday. Mark's a great Christian, and I thank God for him. I hope he's our next governor. We're actively trying to get him to come. If it works, it'll be wonderful. If it don't, well, that's the will of the Lord too. I'm all for it. But y'all listen to me. a whole lot more. A whole lot more. As a matter of fact, the New Testament doesn't even mention it. A whole lot more, though, than God wants America to be right. God wants the church to be right. God ain't near as concerned in the White House and the Congress being right as He is the pews and the pulpit of the local Baptist assembly. Amen. You realize there's all kind of really good churches in third world countries to where the government is corrupt and wicked. We just heard from one tonight, but the church is right. Amen. God's a whole lot more concerned with the church being right than the government being right. That's what I'm concerned with. I'm all for voting right. I believe you should. Vote for Trump this year. Vote for Mark Robinson this year. Outside of that, I ain't really sure who else is running. But I vote for him. You ought to. I'm for that. Please don't let me know you vote for Biden or whoever Democrat is running against Mark Robinson. Please don't let me know that. I want to think good of you. Don't let me know that. Amen. But listen to me. That's not my main goal and purpose. My main goal and purpose is not to get up here every week and preach the Trump gospel or the Mark Robinson gospel or the American flag gospel. My purpose is to get up here and preach the Word of God so that the Church of Jesus Christ stays right. Watch why Paul gives this exhortation. It's for the church to be right. Watch it. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. We're going to use a bunch of Bible to back up what we're saying because I don't want you to think I'm just preaching my own opinion or my own thoughts on the matter. I want you to see the Bible for it. Why the exhortation? Why the command? Why the beseeching? Why the strong language? Because of this. Watch 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 5:1, Paul told this church, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned." In other words, you just stiffed your neck up. You didn't get right over it. "That he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you." Now come all the way down. Come all the way down to verse number 6. Watch what Paul says about this. Why is Paul saying to withdraw ourselves from this type of individual? Watch verse 6. "Your glorying is not good." Watch it. Here it is. "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" It doesn't take much loose living in the pulpit on the pew to get loose in a church and absolutely wipe out what God has given us tonight. I think some people they ain't catch it. They think the reason why we have good singing is because we got good singing. And the reason why we got all these young people is just because we have activities. And just because... No. Brother, look here. That when we got here, they didn't have none of that stuff. You know what God honors and why we have liberty at the church and why we have freedom at the church, why we can have people stand up and testify at the church, and why we can see young people get is because we preach the Bible and we lift up the Bible and we try and live the Bible. It's not the tail wagging the dog. The whole point of what God does here is because of gun barrel straight Bible preaching that keeps our heart right with God. Amen. Do y'all realize this? I was thinking about this the other day. Brother Jack and me was talking. And Brother Jack said, "Preacher, you ever read about rat poison?" I said, "Well, I mean, not a whole lot. I've never took any of it." He said, "Well, if you ever read about rat poison, this is what you find out." He says, "When you read about rat poison, 99% of what's in rat poison is food. It's less than 1% poison in the rat poison." It's not 99% poison. It's less than 1% in the rat poison that kills. Y'all, I'm not telling, listen to me, it's not the big, overwhelming elephant in the room sin that comes in that we all see. No, it's just the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's the flies in the oil of the apothecary that sends forth a stinking savor according to Ecclesiastes. It is the little leaven that leavens the whole lump. And so that's why we preach. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we stay on an altar. That's why we try and stay right with God, because we want to make sure that this stays right, so our children have a place to worship and our grandchildren have a place to worship. Y'all, I ain't that far from having grandchildren one day, and 20 years from now I want to make sure that my grandbabies still got a place where they can come and the Word of God is preached gun barrel straight, and it doesn't look like a nightclub, and it doesn't feel like a nightclub, and it doesn't sound like a nightclub, but somewhere where Jesus is lifted up and the Bible is preached and the right music is sung and the right scriptures are preached, so that it stays right tonight. Don't you want that? Don't you want that for your children? Listen to me. I'm worried, Brother Udy. I'm worried about some of these guys that I'm watching. I'm telling you, listen to me, y'all. If their children take another step to the left as far as they have, they're going to wind up well chunder somewhere. I want to ask some of these preachers, Brother Randy, if your child takes another step as far left as you have from your heritage, what is that going to look like? Oh, but in their mind, they think, no, we've come as far left as we're coming. No. Your kids will keep moving as far as you already have. That's why we're not trying to move here. That's why we're not trying to shift here. That's why we're not trying to just become like the world. We're trying to stay right where we've always been and right where this church has always stood, from the old building to the new building. Bible preaching, Bible singing, walking with God in the old time way tonight. Why this exhortation? Why? He wants to keep the church right. But not only why the exhortation, look who this exhortation encompasses. Look who it encompasses. The Bible said back in our text, you don't have to turn there, but back in our text he said to withdraw yourselves. Don't miss this, this is who it encompasses. Withdraw yourselves from every brother. Every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which we've delivered to you. But preacher, they family. But preacher, that they save people too. What's that got to do anything? But preacher, you know how that's gonna cause me some problems. A whole lot better cause you some problems with them than cause you problems with the Lord. Amen. This is what your Bible said in 1 Corinthians 5. Look at 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11. Watch verse 11 of where you're at in 1 Corinthians 5. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. Who does this encompass? It encompasses saved people. Y'all, listen to me. The message tonight ain't even about lost people. I'm not even preaching about lost people tonight. See, some of y'all thought at the start of this message, we're talking about lost people. I ain't talking about lost people. Lost people's going to be lost people. We expect lost people to act like lost people. If you don't expect lost people to act like lost people, you're crazy. They're lost. You were lost. But we expect saved people to be somewhat different. Why does Paul say these things? Why is he saying this? Why the exhortation? Why telling us who this encompasses? Because Paul knows this. According to Galatians chapter 3 verse 1, Paul said this, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who? Not what? Brother Kevin Stewart, who? Then he said in chapter 5, Brother Skip, he says, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Why this exhortation? What's the point of this tonight? What's the point of telling us this stuff tonight? Because Paul knows this. Paul knows that what normally will mess you up is not a what, it's a who. It ain't a what. It's going to be a person. Well, preacher, they go to church. Yeah, so did Ananias and Sapphira. Lying to the Holy Ghost, keeping money back from the Lord, and God killed them. Well, preacher, they go to a good church. So did Judas. Had the best pastor on the planet. His name was Jesus Christ. You might have heard of him. Had great members around him. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Thaddeus, Bartholomew. So what? Y'all ever read 2 Samuel chapter 13? I know you have. 2 Samuel chapter 13, I'll not even take time to take you there. But 2 Samuel chapter 13 tells about one of David's sons named Amnon. And Brother Donahue, it said about Amnon that he ended up falling lustfully sick after his sister Tamar, his half-sister Tamar, had this sick, warped desire to be with his sister Tamar. But Brother Kevin, that's where it would have stopped at. What pushed him over the edge? You go read it. 2 Samuel 13:3. But Amnon had a friend. You say, oh, that friend, his name's Jonadab, Brother Zeke. And Jonadab's the one that starts telling him, this is how you can work this out. You can figure it out this way and be sly this way. Tell her you're sick. Get her to come in and then just do what you want to. You're the king's son. Just go ahead. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, that Jonadab guy, that bad news Jonadab, he must have been a Philistine. That Jonadab guy, he must have been one of them Amalekites. That Jonadab guy, he must have been one of them worldly people. No, you know who Jonadab was? He was in the family of David. He was a son of David's own brother. He was cousins with Amnon. He's one of God's people. Hey, y'all, just because they sit on pews don't mean you ought to have real close association with them. It just blows my mind. It blows my mind. Why in the world, some parents, you will yoke up with the most carnal family or individual in the church. You'll take your kids and you'll yoke up with them and you'll let them spew vile vomit all over you and your kids and you'll get hooked up with the most carnal people that you can find. Why? I want to find somebody that's going to help me live for God. I have literally heard people, Brother Skip, say things like this. They say, I don't know why my kids turned out wrong. We kept them in church. Y'all listen to me. There's a lot more than just bringing youngins to church. There's influences even at the church you better be careful of. Amen. I literally heard some people. I heard one lady one time say, I don't know, I'm half bitter at God because I don't know why none of my kids turned out. I do. I watch the people you're letting your kids hang out with. Bunch of heathens. Come on now. I'm saying, Mom and Daddy, you better be watching what's going on. You know what the Bible said about a guy named Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat had a buddy named Ahaziah who was the king of Israel. And Jehoshaphat's king of Judah. You know what the Bible said, Brother Cliff? His whole life got broken up and his ships got broken up. Why? Because God said you hooked up with that guy. Who is he? He's the king of Israel. He's one of God's people. Talking about withdraw yourself. Why this exhortation? Why does he command it like this so much? Because he wants to keep the church right and keep you right. Not only why the exhortation, who it encompasses, but what does this entail? You say, okay, preacher, you preached about withdrawing yourselves, but what does that look like? The Bible gives us specifics, Brother Hunter, of what it looks like. He don't just leave us to figure it out. He tells us what it looks like. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians 5. We're coming right back. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians 5. We're coming right back. But go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Watch what he said here. 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 3. The Scripture gives us commands. He said in verse number 6, to withdraw from them that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Let me pause right there real quick. This ain't in my notes, but I'd like to say this. He says, not after the tradition. And then back in chapter 2, verse 15 of 2 Thessalonians, he said, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. I'm about sick and tired of hearing people all over the place today, Brother Paul, saying, oh, you holding on to them man-made traditions. Some traditions are worth holding on to. We ain't got no Bible for that. That's just a tradition. Yeah, but it's biblical principle. You watch them churches that keep majoring on getting rid of the traditions, getting rid of the traditions. Watch what they start looking like. What they mean is get rid of the standards. That's what they mean when they say that. When they say let's get rid of the traditions, they mean let's get rid of the standards. Anyways, what does this entail? What does it entail? It entails your duties as a Christian. Your duties. Watch this. Now, I'm telling you, this ain't popular preaching. Watch verse number 7. 2 Thessalonians 3:7. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. What does that look like? Disorderly. Here it is. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. Watch this. That if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that they with quietness, they work and eat their own bread, so on and so forth. The first thing he mentions is our duties. You say, what's that look like? Unless an individual's handicapped or he's in between jobs, listen to me, Paul is saying, if a fella's in your church and he is a sorry, lazy, good-for-nothing bum, and he won't get a job, and he won't support his family, and he won't work, and he expects his wife to do everything. I'm not talking about somebody's handicapped. I'm talking about somebody's just lazy and sorry and good for nothing. He said, don't even fellowship with that bum. Doc, I know a guy right now, young, able-bodied boy, and he come to me a while back, about a year or so ago, asked, could he join up with this church? I'm like, heck no. Not just no, heck no. You say, why? He's a bum. He's a mooching, lazy bum. He won't support his wife. He won't support his children. He won't get a job. He's a bum. Preacher, that's terrible. I'm preaching the Bible to you. You think I'm fixing that? Look here. If I let somebody like that join the church, that'd be just the same as letting a fornicator join the church. Amen, amen. We got people sitting here tonight that God has blessed their life because they got married and started doing it right. But when they first came to us, I'm talking about like five or six couples that when I first got here and they come to the church, they said, preacher, we'd like to join the church. I said, y'all married? They said, no, sir, we ain't married yet. I said, can't let you join till you get that thing right. We can't. Brother, we're living in a day, there ain't no standard with church membership no more. You can be a sodomite, you can be a drunk, you can be a dopehead, you can be a homosexual, you can be a bum, you can be a fornicator, it just don't matter. That is crazy. That is crazy. Say, what is it? They got married, God got things right with God, and praise the Lord, they sit here tonight. That's the Bible. Here, the first thing is these duties. Sir, if you've got an able back and a sound mind, you ought to find something to do. Well, I can't find the right job. Find one until the right one comes along. Amen. Did you see what he said? This is so rude. You say, Brother Zorn, you're rude. Paul's rude. Paul said in verse 10 that if any would not work, neither should he eat. I say, Brother Parks, let's bring that back And let's establish that as a rule in our nation. We'll dump the welfare rolls real quick. They'll be bum starving to death in Charlotte by the thousands, up in Greensboro and Salisbury. They'll be starving to death everywhere. Don't say no, Paul. So if you ain't working, you don't need. You know what I like about Brother David's ministry down there? I like about Brother David's ministry is every time he gets guys in there, he finds them a job and puts them to work. I appreciate Brother Beaver. He's put a lot of these fellas to work since they've been there. I like that. Brother, that's part of living for God. Learning to work. Amen. Brother Jack's old pastor, Brother Jack Wood, years ago, he said God wouldn't even save a lazy man. That's what he said. He was tough. What does this entail? It entails duties. It entails demeanor. Watch the demeanor. Watch your text. Look at verse 11. Watch verse 11. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. Watch the demeanor. Watch this. But are busybodies. They just run around sticking their nose in everybody else's cotton picking business. Talking about people you better back up from. People you better have enough insight that when you look at this person and you see they ain't nothing but a busybody, they're trying to start strife between brethren in the church and sisters in the church. Brother, they'll run over here and they'll talk to this one, and immediately when they get their juicy piece of red meat, then they run over here and they tell this one what they've heard and what they've learned, and then they run back over here and tell, you better get away from that person. Back up from them. Come back from them. I love you. I'm praying for you. God bless you. But if you think we're fixing to be tight, withdraw. It means, I told you, abstain from associating with. You think we're going to be tight? We ain't going to get tight because I don't want to get drug into this drama. Ladies, y'all listen to me. Can I get the ladies to give me an amen? That's good enough, I guess. Ladies, listen to me. I ain't trying to single you out on this one. I mean, I just hit men about being bums. Give me a little leeway, all right? But ladies, let's just be honest. The first thing that ever got a woman in trouble in the Bible was talking to someone she shouldn't have talked to. That's the first thing ever got a lady in trouble in the Bible. She talked to somebody she shouldn't have been talking to. She had no business talking to him. Y'all listen to me. Hey, some things you're not to be talking about, leave it alone. If you want to talk about it, go tell your husband. Hey, you and your husband get behind closed doors, shut the door, and have the biggest blessed fire gossip session you want if it's just you and him. Knock yourself out. But don't let your children hear it. And don't be calling and texting, telling everybody else about it. Amen. What does this entail? How are we doing so far? Duties. Demeanor. I'm talking about this will help you if you'll grab a hold of it. Go to 1 Corinthians 5. It gets worse. Cheer up. What does it entail? It entails deportment. How your lifestyle. Your manner of lifestyle. 1 Corinthians 5. Well, we'll just begin reading in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 5, 9. Paul said, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now watch what he said, verse 10. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. You say, what's he saying there? He's giving you a caveat of this, that you can't apply what I'm preaching tonight to lost people. Because if you apply what I'm preaching to lost people, you can't even go to work. Paul says, I realize that the people of this world, they're fornicators, they're covetous, they're extortioners, they're idolaters. They're just like you were before you got saved. Y'all, some of you young fellas in for a rude awakening when you start getting your job. I love you fellas. I love you fellas, but y'all listen to me. If you think you're going to finally just all of a sudden pop out of church and go to work somewhere and ain't never going to hear dirty, filthy, nasty mouth cussing, you better gird up the loins of your mind and learn to live for God, even in a bad environment. God may do it. God may put you somewhere where you got a boss that cusses you like a yellow dog. What should be my response? Take it like a Christian. Show them how a Christian handles it. Amen. You know, you adult men can say amen right there. You've worked jobs like that before. You've had to be around that trash before. You live for God anyways. You walked into work and all of them standing around talking about their exploits from the night before and telling a bunch of filthy, dirty carnality. You know what you do? You walk away, get away from them. But that's lost people. Extortioners, it said. You fellas all the time watch them guys on the job extort money from the company. They ride the clock, turn in bad stuff, don't do work that they get paid for. It's extortion. That's not the way you should act. That's the way they act, though. But the Bible said you got to work around that. It's the world. It's your opportunity to be a light in a dark place.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. Isn't that what Jesus did? I get so sick of hearing this stuff. People got so messed up. They get so messed up about how Jesus done stuff. And they're like, well, Jesus was close with the sinners and all that. No, he wasn't. No. You need to read that again. He'd go over there and he would tell them about himself and try and get them right and then say, go and sin no more. But y'all listen to me. Y'all know who his close associations was? Peter, James, John. Guys that were living right. That's who the close association was. Amen. What does he say here? He ain't talking about lost people. Keep reading. Watch what he says. Withdraw yourselves. Watch verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. That's that withdrawal thing. Abstain from associating with them. If any man that is called a brother, here you go, here's your deportment. If a brother is a fornicator and he won't get right. If a sister is an open fornicator and she won't get right. Or covetous. They don't care about the church. They forsake the assembling of themselves together. They don't care about it. They're just living for a dollar bill and what they can do in the here and now. Or an idolater. Everything's before God. Everything. No other gods before me. They got every other kind of god in front of them. Or a railer. A railer's kind of like that busybody over there. They constantly and tearing everything down at the church. Or a drunkard. That's that word you was talking about, Brother Mike.
Yeah.
Or an extortioner. They stealing money from people. Taking it by unjust means. Now watch what it says about these kind of people if they're a brother or a sister. With such an one, no, not to eat. Listen to me, y'all. I'm getting somewhere with this at the end. We have so blurred the lines on this stuff that there is nobody we won't just be close with. We'll go on vacations with them. We'll stay in the same house. We'll get tight with them. We'll be buddies with them. And you think that ain't going to rub off on you? And y'all listen to me. Listen to me. The bad mindset we got, and I ain't got there yet, but I'm getting there. The bad mindset we got is this. Well, I'm on fellowship with them so I can help them get right. Now, if they want to get right, that's a different story. We'll get there in a minute. But I'm talking about they don't got no desire to get right. They are unrepentant and rebellious. Your mindset is, well, I'm on fellowship with them and that'll make them get right. No, it won't. What you have done is give them the best of both worlds. You have allowed them to still have fellowship with the church and not feel bad about it and still live their wicked life outside the church. You have become an enabler. The prodigal son's daddy did not take off down yonder to the far country when his boy started running out of money and float him $20 every time he started to hit rock bottom. Amen. He let him hit rock bottom. Why? So he could repent and get right. What does this entail? Oh, withdraw yourselves. What does this entail? It don't just entail duties, demeanor, deportment. It entails doctrine. Go to Romans 16. Look at Romans 16. It includes doctrine. It includes what we believe. Romans 16:17. I'm not saying you can't be kind. I'm going to get to that in a minute. We're going to cover some great verses here in just a second. Just don't get ahead of me. Don't get your mind racing and thinking that I'm some bigoted, hateful individual. I'm not. I'm trying to preach the Bible to you. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Do you remember where we started at tonight? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Them people that said to withdraw yourself from was the people who would not consent. They would not submit to sound doctrine after godliness. There must be some doctrinal boundaries in this thing, y'all. I'm sorry, but look. You know, maybe things are a little different in your world. But I'm talking about as somebody who has people's watching me, got young men watching me, following that direction that I'm headed. Other people are watching, brother. I don't just have the luxury just to let my influence just run all out anywhere and everywhere. I'm not rubbing shoulders and putting myself on a flyer with some of this trash that I see some of my brethren putting their pictures on today. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. One of the biggest independent Baptist pastors and evangelists, he ain't a pastor no more, he's an evangelist, just here a little while back, dear friend of mine down in Richfield, this guy had a meeting down below him with a Southern Baptist church that's an anti-King James, full-blown contemporary, and yoking up and rubbing shoulders with that. Thank God my friend down in Richfield said, church, we ain't going down there to back that up. I say amen. I say what you want to say about that. I'm telling you, I'm watching this stuff. I see a flyer come out the other day, Brother Skip, of a certain meeting that's happening in South Carolina. And on May the 1st and May the 8th, it's youth night. They're going to bring the youth in. You know who they got singing for youth night? It ain't the Inspirations. It ain't the revived McCamies, who I like. It ain't none of them. You know, They got this dude that was a star on The Voice. Austin Peay or something like that. Looked like blast fired ZZ Top, y'all. I mean, bro, hair well down here. I mean, looked like ZZ Top. Compadres look like Lynyrd Skynyrd. And I'm like, these dudes are going to get on the platform and try and preach after that? They've lost their minds. That stuff needs to be marked and avoided. And in them same meetings, Brother Carl, in them same meetings, the people who are coming and supporting them, I've checked it out and looked at it, the people who are coming and supporting them are churches that have women pastors, apostolic signs and wonders. All I say, brother, you're not telling me you're preaching anything doctrinal there. You're not gonna. You know why? You'd lose your paycheck. We have lost our distinction. We have lost our Baptist distinctives, and our people don't know what they believe no more. It's the preacher's fault. It ain't y'all's fault. I ain't even fussing at you for none of that. It's the stinking preacher's fault for letting that last one get by us. Amen. You preachers that are watching by way of Facebook or YouTube or whatever, it's your fault and it's my fault. It's time you finally grow up and be a man again, stand in the pulpit and preach the Bible, regardless of what it costs y'all. Stop making some of us up here feel like we're the blessed Lone Rangers. Why don't you become a man, praise God, since you're bailed up and get up and preach something too. I'm tired of it. Amen. Why this exhortation? What does this entail? And then lastly, when does it end? When does this withdrawing yourself end? Listen to me. Please don't miss this. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to show you this. This is a great verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. When does this end? When does the withdrawing end? Listen to me. What is To what end does the withdrawal work? What's the point of it? Is it just so you can stand back, fold your arms, and say, I'm better than you are? God forbid. It's not to make you a Pharisee. It's not to make you some legalistic Pharisee who looks down your long hypocritical past nose at people. No. It is to get God's people right. Listen to me. When the church, listen to me, don't miss what I'm saying. I'm done. When the church withdraws from a disorderly brother or sister, that disorderly brother or sister's reaction should be repentance. And the church's reaction should be restoration. The offended or the offender should be repentance in their reaction. And the church should have restoration. We forgive you. Let's fellowship again. Watch the text. We're going to hurry to the close. 2 Thessalonians 3. Watch verse 14. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. After he's told us in verse 6 to withdraw ourselves, verse 14 he says, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, know that man, and have no company with him. To what end? To what end? Please don't miss the last five words. That he may be ashamed. Verse 15. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him, sometimes sharply according to Titus, but admonish him as a brother. Listen to me. This is where we've gone wrong in our churches. Somebody gets way disorderly, way out of bounds. I mean, brother, gets beyond even what we're reading here, but even into what we're reading and what I preached about tonight. And instead of us doing our part, admonishing them and saying, brother, sister, I can't have fellowship with you. Some of you young people need to go ahead and get enough guts to look at some of your friends and say, I'm telling you, that stuff that y'all been posting on social media and that stuff that y'all been listening to in y'all's car, I ain't riding with y'all no more. I'm telling you where it's going to lead you to anyways. The problem is we've not withdrawn any. So you know what that's done? It has not required them to get right. A true child of God, please don't miss what I'm saying. A true child of God, when the church has withdrawn fellowship from them, they will get right. Why? Because they crave fellowship of the church. Mark this down. If the church withdraws fellowship from an individual and they don't get ashamed, they don't want to get right and get in fellowship, they're not saved. I've got Bible that says it. Jude verse 17 to 19. You can write that down. Jude verses 17 to 19 says a man who separates himself from the church and doesn't want anything to do with the church, he's not even saved. He doesn't have the Spirit. Brother, what I'm preaching tonight, I have seen work if it's handled correctly. Over there in 1 Corinthians, Brother Skip, that fellow's committing fornication. They withdraw from him. They pull their fellowship back. You say, what was the end result of that? Go read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and tell me what the end result was. The fellow got right with God. What did he get right with God for? Because he missed this. He missed it. I'm going to be honest with you. Y'all, if I was stripped of this today, I'd be like a lost puppy dog. Y'all are my life. You are my family. This is my life. This is my family. The Church of Jesus Christ. And if this gets stripped away from me, I'm going to do whatever I can to get right, to be back in fellowship with it. A man that doesn't care about that, or a woman that says, I don't care about that, so what? So you won't fellowship me no more. I don't care. I'm leaving anyway. I would be seriously concerned about that person's spiritual well-being. Are they even saved? A saved person wants to be around saved people. And in our haste tonight to try and be hip, cool, relevant, and accept anything and everything, we have missed all these verses that I preached on tonight. I mean, would you not agree with me that this is, there's a pile of verses we covered. This is fairly substantial. Now, can I give you this and I'm done? I don't even know. We may just give a little short season of you just praying, you pew, or come to the altar. Esther, help me up here. But I just want to say this to you at the end of this message. Please don't miss this. Please don't miss this. I want you to hear me. And with all the love and in my heart, I want to end it by saying this. I want to end it by saying this, and I don't want you to miss this. And I want you to understand the heart by which I say it. When it comes down to withdrawing yourself, please hear this. Always try and err. If you're going to err, always try and err on the side of mercy, grace, and compassion. If I'm going to err on one side or the other, judgment or grace, condemnation or mercy, I want to try and err, Brother Keith Haynes, on the side of compassion and mercy. Why? Because that's what I want from the Lord too. I don't mean yoke up with anybody and everybody. You better have discernment on that. Make sure you're erring on the right side of this thing. If you're gonna. You ought not to err. Try and be balanced. A false balance is an abomination. Erring either way. But y'all listen to me. Like I heard an old preacher say the other night. We may have young people or adults that turn into prodigals, and they wind up out there and we withdraw ourselves. But I want them to always, 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 always know that there's still a place where they can come in, get right with God, and when they do, they're not going to be met by the cynical looks of people who are holding grudges. They're not going to be met with... They're going to be met with open arms of restoration and say, we love you. We're glad you got right with God. But what puts a person in that shape is when we apply what the Scripture says. You can't get around what the Bible said, y'all. The Bible's always right. I want to stick with the book tonight. I know you do too. Let's all stand this evening. Father, I pray you bless this simple little message from the Word of God. God, help us to keep our hearts right. Help us not to get high-minded. Help us to remember what Paul said. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We don't admonish brothers or sisters. We don't try and get them right so that we look good. We do it so that we can continue to fellowship. The Bible said, can two walk together except they be agreed? We want to agree. We want to be able to hold hands over doctrine and fellowship. God, I sat under that on and out there tonight before church. Sat in that rocking chair and just listened to all them fellas laughing and joking and cutting up and talking about the things of God. I love that. Please, God, always keep our fellowship right at Bible Missionary. Keep us in fellowship one with another. Keep us in love with Jesus and the Bible. And when there are areas of my life or anyone else's life in here where we get out of sorts or out of the way, help us to repent and get right quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.